the win.
There you go. Love it. All right, so love Doug also. Jason, Doug.
Gosh.
Coming back in town. How often do you communicate with them, and what do you expect on Sunday?
We probably talk mostly on, like, via text, like but that's like once or twice a year, you know what I mean, just catching up.
Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to see him in Tahoe this year.
At the golf outing.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson merits the invite to, I understand, Jason Kelce. But
oh, dude, he's been there for a while. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that is like Jordan shows up. In. Michael Jordan shows up. Rob Lowe shows up.
Yeah.
This is like some big stuff.
Don't be small-timing Doug Peterson.
I love
he's
him.
A Super Bowl winning coach.
I'm happy for him. That's great.
I love Rob Lowe's your second after that. You go Michael Jordan and Rob Lowe.
James. The legendary.
You know why? Right. No, here's why. So I have a buddy. Witnessed. A game of cards. Jordan, Barkley, Rob Lowe.
There you go.
My buddy's not in the game. He's standing in the back of the room. During the game, Barkley and Jordan bet a house.
Whoa!
Why not? Bet a house. And Rob Lowe was the other major celebrity there. Wow. My point is, the Lake
Are these
Tahoe.
Houses of equal.
I don't know.
It's an important guy.
My buddy said he witnessed that.
He's getting the upper hand in this wager.
The other thing my buddy witnessed that time, standing in the back of the room, Jason, he's next to Jordan's driver. This is one of the most amazing stories ever from sports. Jordan's driver for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
The guy that picked him up at the airport when he flew in 1984 to Chicago for his introductory press conference. This guy picks up Jordan, drives him to the Bulls complex. Jordan and this cabbie talk, and Jordan's like, look, in a couple hours, I got to come back to the airport. Guy's like, I'll get you.
Yeah.
Brings Jordan back to the airport a couple hours later. Jordan and this guy vibe. Jordan's like, when he gets back into town for his rookie year, you want to be my guy?
Wow.
Becomes his guy 40 years later. I mean, at least as of 10 years ago.
Most important cab rider that guy's
well,
life.
And Jason, think about this. So my buddy says to the cabbie, so you must know a lot.
Oh, yeah.
His response was, I do, and I keep my job by never saying any of it.
Keep your job for 40 years.
I mean, if you're Jordan's guy, John, that's got to be a couple million dollar keep the mouth shut job.
Are you kidding?
If you're Michael Jordan's dude?
Easy.
Holy mackerel.
Easy.
Imagine that. So, all right, Jason, tell us about Doug the guy. I mean, I think we have a sense, and I would guess that what we think is what it is. Here's my sense of Doug.
Okay.
He's a dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He is someone that you respect from his playing days, and that is just a good quality person that you were proud to play for. Tell me what I got that's right. Tell me what I'm missing.
Yeah, all of that's true. I mean, I think, you know, it's hard for a lot of players to really wrap their head around probably Doug as the player. But anytime there's a coach that was a former player that had success and played for a long time, I think that aids into the trust and respect for him. More importantly, I think he understands the job from the player's frame of mind, which is rare by head coaches, right? Well, I guess it's not that rare, but it's uncommon in the NFL. Great person, awesome, just like integrity-driven man. In the locker room, the way he talks to players, connects with guys, just one of those people that everybody tends to absolutely love. And it's very easy to suit up and go out and play for him. He's very good a lot of the times and not getting too high low unless you have a bad half, then he'll come in and he's going to let you know it. But
did he chew you out?
Has he chewed me out personally? No. But he's chewed the team out. I've seen him chew guys out.
Who do guys love more? I know this is tough, but we hear all the time everyone's crazy about Nick. Doug, former player, everyone respects him.
Yeah.
It's like that we know that they both vibe with the guys. We know they're both players, coaches, but
If I had to pick one.
Yeah. Who gets the nod?
I'm not going to pick
one. Impossible.
Nor would I expect you to.
No. It's well handled, Chase.
Yeah, I'm not.
That was the correct answer there.
they're both incredible coaches, incredible men, and I loved playing for both of them. And we had a moment between me and Doug Peterson that we won the Super Bowl that I'll never forget. I had a moment between me and Nick where we lost the Super Bowl, and I'll never forget that one. We both got there. Obviously, going down the parade with Doug was pretty damn awesome. So yeah, I think it's
hard to beat that.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that. That team was really special, and I was younger and more connected to probably those guys on like a peer basis. You know, once you start getting older, it's just a different dynamic. But I think like even with, you know, Andy was a guy that like he was a player's coach too. Players love him, right?
Sure.
In a different capacity, in a different realm. But I was so young then that it was hard to even wrap my head around things.
Do you
like
think
you're more just like
that? See, that's interesting. Yeah. You're a lot younger when Andy's your coach. I know I was afraid of Andy Reid. Like as a player, there was a fear component that it doesn't feel like exists with Nick.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that's a new, if that's like the old school NFL versus the new school NFL.
I think a lot of it comes down to just personality. I don't believe this. Like at the end of the day, great coaches, no matter how hard they are on you, players want to be coached. Players want to get better. If the player feels like the coach is trying to make them better, and like has their interest in mind rather than just doing some showboaty thing out here.
Yeah.
And we all know it. Like when somebody just lashes out into a press conference and it's like, dude, that was uncalled for. And then we know when that happens, like, yay, it's a great point, right? And to me, Andy, the reason I think, I don't know if it's like a fear thing. Andy was always so stoic. So you never knew what he was holding behind there a lot of the times. And when he did get there, to where like it upset him, it made him being upset that much more impactful.
Yeah.
Because it was like, man, I really just like, for this guy to not be the stoic man that he always is.
It's like when Silent Bob talks at the end.
Exactly. It meant more. So it always kind of hit you harder.
Yeah.
And conversely, when he was up and he was happy, it was like, man, I really just nailed that because this guy smiled for the first time today. Right. So
yeah.
I think that probably plays more of a factor into that. I think Nick is very much wears his emotions on his sleeve at all times and is criticized sometimes for that. But that also, that's also wonderful at times. And I think it is better in some ways. Doug is an in-between. He can let his emotions out. He's much more, talking to the players. And this is why it's hard, because I was older with Doug. Like, I know for a fact Andy was talking to the older guys that he had been with for a long time. I wasn't at that stage when I was with him. But me and Doug, like, I was an older player at that point. So we would talk continually about the game plan, about where the team's at, especially between me and Stout. Like, you start getting those relationships once you start getting older that change dynamics a little bit as a player.
Makes sense. Really
Anyways,
does.
Yeah.
More from Nick Nurse with what he said yesterday. If you've missed this audio, some fascinating stuff and really irritating stuff on a lot of fronts. We'll get to that. More with Jason and your phone calls. Also the Phillies thing. Dodgers win the World Series. I'm sure that irritates everybody, but does it give you some hope that the Phillies can do it when you know the Dodgers lost in the round the last couple years that the Phillies lost in this year?
Jason's got his head down. He's not even looking.
I think he should keep his head down all segment if that's possible.
What is that?
It is Halloween, everyone. Happy Halloween to you, Ben Davis.
Oh, man. You did it.
You know, Batman is...
How do you do it?
Batman is in the house.
How do you do it?
I'm the hammer.
The hammer!
You know? Watch it. I'm Batman. Oh, but I'm also...
The hammer!
But I'm also
Batman.
Is that what you ran out to your car for this morning?
No, it was my golf GPS, so I can hopefully break 100 today.
Oh, that's what's in front of me here?
Yeah. Are you golfing in that?
Yes.
Well, not in that.
No, not in this. No. Not in this.
Not at Marion. Not at Marion.
I don't think I'm allowed to wear this at Marion, right?
No, definitely not.
I would not be allowed in, no.
You went and got another Batman costume.
This is the one from five years ago.
Is this the second one?
You guys should have seen the one he used to wear. It was disgusting, honestly. It was destroyed.
That have cardboard.
Well, it was also destroyed. He worn it for like 15 years.
It had beer stains on it. There's so many stains from college.
It was disgusting. You could smell it from across the
From college, that's really all we should say. Yes.
It was,
If A.J. Brown is
saturated with beer.
Devontae Smith is skinny Batman. Ooh. What is Joe DeCamera Batman?
Good question.
Nerd Batman.
Chest Batman.
What'd you say, man?
Chisel chest Batman.
Yeah. I'll take a name by the end of the show, Jason.
Nerd Batman.
All right. Well, I'll take what I can get.
By the way, Jason. Overconfident Batman?
Well, not with Goff. So, Jason, how do you break 100 if you just can't? Because I did last year once, but this year I'm 0 for the year. I'm giving it one more crack.
I would say play to your strengths.
Well, I don't have them.
Yeah, but you still have something. Like, don't.
Yeah, play to your strengths.
What are your strengths
if you don't have them?
No, I've been pretty.
What are your clubs that you're good with?
Actually, the driver's probably been my best this year. It's my shorter game that's been a problem.
Well, that's a major issue.
Uh-huh.
The driver's the
that's
club
that
you're best
with? All of
the
scoring happens, yeah. I mean, my goal is to try and break 90 routinely, so I'm not like some great golf player. Like, I'm okay.
You're making my 100 look worse, but keep going.
No, but
he's like, I try to break 90. I'm not that good. The camera, you suck. That's what I just heard.
No.
If you shoot 125 at Marion, like, that'd be a good round for you.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
It's hard.
Okay.
I think try not to get, if your goal is to break 100, seriously, if your goal is to break 100, try not to par. Like, just try and, like, get the ball.
Bogey?
Play bogey golf good with bogey golf.
I would love bogey
golf. Here's how you break 100. Play 14 holes.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. Right now, my challenge is, I'm trying to figure out how I get to my cell phone, which is in my Batman costume, and I literally can't get it.
Oh, no. I put the costume over your pants?
The whole problem.
It's trapped. That's funny.
If you're playing at Marion, are you playing with caddies? You don't know?
So Dr. Myers, Dr. Myers invited me yesterday. So whatever the setup is what it is.
So there's two different courses. It depends on which one you're playing. But if you do have a caddy, I always score like insanely better with caddies because they tell you where to putt. I can't read putts that well. They're like, put it right here. And those guys are incredible.
Oh,
and
no.
They'll tell you what to hit. So
someone, he might actually have someone who like waits on him and carries his stuff and tells him how to golf properly.
Yeah, but then
like,
I got a tip at the end.
Dangerous.
I mean, to be fair, do we think he could carry his bag for 18 holes at Marion? Because I don't.
That's great. All right, so Jason, let me ask you this and we'll get back to the phones. You had referenced earlier the Lake Tahoe thing, you know, being out there.
Yeah.
So it's a thrill for any of us when we meet someone who's someone, you know?
Sure.
So you've gotten to the point where you meet a lot of someones. You meet a lot of famous people, and you've become friends with a lot of famous people. In this journey, and maybe in particular over the last year or two, as your whole thing has increased.
Yeah.
Who's been a real thrill for you? Like, you could tell when Saquon was talking yesterday, it was a thrill for him to meet President Obama.
Of course.
You could hear it. So who's been a thrill for you to meet?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Absolutely.
He was shorter than you thought he was going to be, wasn't he?
I mean, he's older now. He's probably even shorter than he used to be, you know what I mean?
I couldn't,
But it was, I'll tell you what, I didn't even notice how short he was.
Because
I was like so just enthralled with seeing the guy. Like, he was that guy growing up, and
sure,
he still is.
For sure.
So Arnold is definitely up there.
That's a great one.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
I didn't meet him in person, but Adam Sandler, we had him on the podcast, and being able to talk to him was absolutely
That's awesome.
Insane.
That is great.
I met the Prince of England. I met, you know, Tom Cruise.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Tom Cruise. That's,
no big deal.
That feels like the most famous person in the
world. Did he know who you were or no?
Not only did he know who I was, it was almost, I think that dude probably just like is reading, like he came off so overly just like informed and intelligent. It's like hard to explain. It was like, man, you really are like this Mission Impossible character.
Well, he learns to fly helicopters. He does all that for real.
And I brought this up to another person who knew him, and they said the exact same thing. They said, no, he is just like wired that way. It was a very just like, wow, this guy's like on. Like, I don't know if you like
knew
read my whole
place?
Wikipedia before, like was. So I think there's been a lot of really, really cool people I've met over the past year, 2 years. But I do think there's something about seeing people that were big when you were a kid still.
Oh yeah,
those are the ones that always like kind of like feel the most impactful.
That's awesome.
Did you ever get to meet Bruce Springsteen yet?
I haven't, and I've been to a number of his shows. And I used to, I'll be honest, I did not used to be a huge Bruce fan. because I didn't really know that much. Like, I knew Born in the USA. Like, I knew, like, the big hits and stuff like that. And then I went to see him live my second year in Philly at Citizens Bank. And I was like, oh, I get it now. This guy is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, very impressive. Played for 4 hours nonstop.
He's a
in, like,
monster.
The whole East Street Band and all that stuff. And I was like, impressive.
That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. 215-592-9494. All right, back with more calls 1 minute from now. All the calls here with Jason in studio.
If you spent time building the right roster and earned the fans, then you need the best technology to back it up. Get rid of those flimsy tablets and slow computers and step up to the game changer and point of sale solutions for restaurants and bars, PDQ POS. Imagine a seamless and lightning fast checkout experience for your customers that saves you money by cutting out those costly fees. Their state-of-the-art technology ensures that transactions are swift, secure, and hassle-free, but that's not all. PDQ Signature Systems is not just a POS system, it's a complete business management solution. Keep track of your inventory, easily manage your staff, and use real-time analytics to optimize your sales. Their user-friendly interface makes it simple for anyone to navigate. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and upgrade to PDQ Signature Systems. Whether you have one restaurant or hundreds, PDQ will customize a solution for your specific needs. Upgrade to the professional point of sale. Visit PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, Jason Kelce in studio with us, and we're going to get to some more of that Nick Nurse audio from yesterday. Also, your chance to weigh in on Sirianni, on the Sixers, on the Phils. Dodgers win the World Series. And two other quick things. Life Advice with the Hammer coming up at about 9:20 today. Get those questions in that you need help with in life. I'll try to steer you some good advice. That's Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can interact with the show in addition to the phone lines. The other thing, reminder. I try to remind people of this frequently. Our app, the Odyssey app, really is a remarkable thing. And I say that to say this. If you miss any portion of the show but want to hear it, like Jason right now, maybe you didn't hear it at 7:30 when he popped on. Maybe you didn't hear Seth Joyner Monday from 9 to 10. Maybe you missed Sirianni at 8:40 on Tuesday. Or you missed Jaws yesterday at 7:30. Like, all these interviews are all housed there. So you can always listen live on the Odyssey app. But you also, if you get to work and you got to, you know, go work, you want to listen later, it's all there. Odyssey app. It's amazing. Listen to it. Consume as much as you want. It's really good stuff. Let's talk to Gary in New Jersey right now. Gary, you're on WIP.
Good morning. Rhea, my son played 7-on-7 with a bunch of players from Rome, and the offensive coordinator is a great, great guy.
Oh, awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. So, do you feel like it's Groundhog Day? I swear to God, if Nick Nurse starts talking with a New England accent, I'm out.
Like, well, Australian?
Yeah. That's right. Like, my God. Lie after lie. Like, you got a guy, Derrick Henry, spending $250,000 to make sure he could be on the field every week, and he's getting pounded. And this guy can't, like, work out and get in shape for opening night?
So, Gary, that's the one spot where I – well, it's not the one spot, but it's one of the spots I feel bad for Nick Nurse, because I agree with you. Like, I think he's way, way down on the list of problems. But he doesn't want to state publicly, my owner is absentee, my general manager is leaving me out to dry, and my star is killing us.
Is too hurt to play.
Yeah. It's literally too hurt to play. So I don't like the way Nick Nurse is handling it, but I recognize he is in a very tough spot.
Yeah, I don't blame Nick Nurse. I feel like the same thing Brett Brown went through. Like, they stick him up there, and he's got to talk to the press, and he can't say what the truth is.
Now, I think that's pretty much accurate. He could do a little bit of a better job presenting it, but I agree with you. He's clearly trying to avoid being forthcoming. Gary, give me an answer. What is, on this Halloween day, a strange tradition?
But maybe Nick Nurse doesn't want to be a scapegoat. And I think the strangest tradition is the Mummers Parade.
Oh, like, big answer.
From afar, it is something different.
Ties into Jason. Jason,
it
have you?
Does.
I will say, go ahead. As someone not from the city of Philadelphia, the Mummers thing is, like, delightfully weird and absurd.
No question. No question.
Very much.
So, is the...
Delightfully weird.
It's true. Yeah. Is Parade Day the only day... Do you ever do the Mummers Parade?
I haven't, and I've been, it's hard in season, obviously, to find the time to, one, do the day, just go to it and experience it.
It's a great day, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I don't even know where it falls on the schedule, so I don't want to speak too soon. But
well, I'll tell you, January 1st.
About this. Well, I know that. But what day?
Talking
is
about
January
the ESPN
1st?
Monday Night yeah, Football, exactly. That stuff.
Joe, this isn't like you not knowing Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, Joe, very different thing.
It almost was. It almost sounded like Jason was implying it might be in May. I mean, he's like, I don't know when New Year's Day is. It is
not a lot of people are like you.
It is a Wednesday, so yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, I look forward to taking that in this year for sure.
Good, man.
Absolutely.
And by the way, Garage Beer would play very well.
That's not a bad. Yeah, maybe we can do something there. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
Right?
Yeah.
Garage Beer, about 100,000 Philadelphians.
Yeah, let's go
Kegs
down.
Kegs and
baby.
Eggs.
Good Two Street knowledge out of you. Not everybody knows that it's Two Street. Well done. Well done right there. All right, not well done the way Nick Nurse has been answering some of these questions. Let's go back to yesterday. So we already knew it was a debacle entering yesterday. We knew Joel was going to miss game four. We didn't know they were going to lose to the Pistons, but we certainly could guess they might, and they did. Nick Nurse was asked a series of questions before the game, and I thought this one by Howard, frankly, was one of the best questions and follow-ups I've heard from a Philadelphia media member, honestly, in a couple of years. This was a doozy, but it was the right question, and it was a fair question, and it was poorly handled by Nick Nurse. Here's the exchange yesterday.
Nick, do you think it's fair to your paying customers and your fans to not know, have any idea when your star player is going to play?
That's a big question to lead off with. Listen, our guys are working out. They are making progress. They're going to have workouts tomorrow, Friday. We hope to have a better indication of where they are by then. Update you then.
But that didn't answer the question. Do you think it's fair? I mean, I have complaints from people, you know, I'm buying tickets and I don't know whether they're going to play. And
well, they're listed as out. With, yeah, you know, within the league guidelines, we have to list them. That's why the league has those guidelines, and we list them that way.
And you do it the day before, but a lot of people buy tickets earlier than that.
Well, we don't have all the information all the time, right? The reason you do it the day before is you want to make sure, right? So you know.
I mean, John, I so believe that Nick Nurse knows the answer is yes, but he just doesn't want to say it, right?
It's got to be.
It has to be.
He is, his tongue is tied. His hands are tied. He is at wit's end. He is just begging for, a way out or a safety line or whatever you want to call it. Just save him, Daryl. Like, someone help him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he knows.
He's dangling and alone.
I think he knows it's unfair, but I think he also doesn't really know how to rectify that because they don't know how long whatever's ailing that player is going to drag on for.
Like, I agree.
When you're dealing with, like, what this probably is some type of inflammation in the chronic knee. I don't want to conjecture, sure, but that's likely what it is, right? And when you're dealing with that, you don't know far in advance when that player is going to feel comfortable enough to go play. Like, so we're dealing with an injury that, like, is the time frame is unknown. He could wake up in the day after having some of this, you know, PRP or whatever they do to it or treatment on it, that all of a sudden it feels good and he could be out there. So is it unfair to the fans to not know if the star player is going to be out there and the tickets that they're buying in advance? Of course it's unfair to them, but as the coach, he doesn't really know how to. Like, he can't say he's definitely going to be out there or not. So there's not really anything he can do.
Jason, one of the things, I'm sorry, Ben, go ahead.
How frustrating must that be?
Yeah. You know, like, what's the thing is, if you talk to any head coach of any major sport, they say, I want to put my players in the best position to win. Well, ownership and management is not allowing Nick Nurse to do that.
Yeah.
They're not allowing it. Bottom line.
Well, Joel's knee is not allowing it, but they're not allowing him to be authentic
exactly
in the presentation.
They're not putting Nick Nurse in the best position to succeed, that's for sure.
So, Jason, let me ask you this question. There's obviously a lot in your tenure here as a player that we admired about your whole thing. I mean, the way you played, but also the way you handled yourself, conducted yourself, carried yourself.
Yeah.
I think I've told you this before, maybe on air, maybe off air. There is a group, and this is not all of them, but there's a group that, in my opinion, best navigated keeping it real with the fans, maintaining proper relationships with your teammates, but didn't, you know, didn't point the finger at us, and answered questions.
Yeah.
And I've told you before, I this isn't all of them, but you did it, Doc did it.
Yeah.
Trot did it, mm-hmm. Jaws did it.
Yeah.
It's not easy to have certain questions asked, give an answer, but not like piss off a lot of people.
Yeah.
So how did you do that? Like, I noticed earlier, you answered a question from John. I knew it was a grenade, and your answer was, I'm not going to answer it, and I respected that, because I didn't expect, like, yeah. How do you navigate that?
I don't know. I think you, when you're answering a question, you know, as a player, how it's going to be perceived by the coach, by the players, and by the fans, and you're trying to, at all times, be respectful to the people you work with and the people that you have relationships with, but also be honest with the fan base. And sometimes those two things coalesce in a way where it's difficult to do that.
Sure.
But I think that usually there's a form of truth that is acceptable and fair to the fans and also fair to the ownership and people you work with.
Yeah.
And there's a way to say things, there's a way to phrase things, and there's a way to discuss things that is appropriate. And I think that you kind of know how to navigate that, especially the older you get in your career. And I just think the majority of really good leaders are very good at that, because I think that's a sign of communication skills in general and emotional intelligence. Like the guys you just said right off the bat.
They had it.
They had that.
Then no one ever said Trot's not keeping it real. Jaws isn't keeping it real. Doc's not. And by the way, those teams, they had their own issues where there was controversies. They had to answer some very, I mean, Doc and Trot were part of the 05 TO thing.
Well, think
like,
about
they were,
Trot.
They were there.
Think and no about one Trot's said, journey, man. Think about Trot was playing special teams to try to like dig his way out from the doghouse for a while there, too.
Randall was playing third downs when Jaws was there.
Right.
I mean, that had to be brutal.
Do you know that, Jason? There was a year, Buddy's strategy.
It was insane.
Was if it's third and so Jaws was the starting quarterback. And he was the veteran, and Randall was the young guy.
Yeah.
If it was third and seven or longer, Randall goes in the game. If it's third and six or less, Jaws stays in the game.
Holy cow. That does sound like a defensive coach's philosophy.
Well, so, Ben, like, just to use you as an example. So, you and John didn't have the same focal point. And you know I mean this, no disrespect. Like, mm-hmm. Jason was a team leader.
Correct.
Future Hall of Famer. So, there's going to be more people at his locker. All right. John, your time, obviously, more people, Donovan and Doc's locker and all that. So, Ben, if a reporter had asked you in 1999 or 2000, you're playing for the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ben, you think any of your teammates are on steroids? Like, that would cause you a problem.
It would.
How the hell do you answer that question?
You don't. I say that's not up for me to decide.
Yeah.
You know what the thing is, though, Ben? I mean, you're also intelligent to know how to quickly do that. And I mean this is no disrespect to some. Not every athlete is as intelligent, Ben, as you or Jason.
I don't
Jason
think it's just intelligent.
Articulate.
I think there are a lot of people who don't feel comfortable talking into microphones, talking in public. There are
totally.
A lot of people who are introverts and stuff like that, where when they're put in that spot, like it might not be intelligence.
Yeah.
It might just be like uncomfortable and they react a certain way.
I think a lot of it is common sense, too.
Yeah.
I tell my wife all the time. It's one of my favorite expressions that I made up. It's amazing how uncommon common sense is. Think about it.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just common sense.
Yeah.
That's not a Yogi Berra thing. That phraseology.
I like
that from Yogi.
I like it. But John, the point is, in a tough spot, Nick Nurse is not handling this well. Like, I do feel some sympathy for him, but he could do a better job. I mean,
guess
come
he
on.
Could, but I think that he probably was doing a good job of this before we even knew he was doing a good job of this. And now this has just gotten so far. It's gotten so far out of control. And he has seen this every step of the way. The fact that Joel has been spoon-fed and babied. From the moment he arrived here, that's got to be frustrating for Nick to watch.
Oh, he stepped into something that was long cultivated.
Yeah.
The process.
You know, yeah. And Joel being injured and a star and not really accountable and all right, Jason, two final things. And reminder for everyone listening, Jason's with us every Thursday for an hour. In studio, Jason and James. This thing today is, tell us where this is being shown.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, our YouTube channel, at Sports Radio 94 WIP on YouTube.
That's awesome. The visual.
Very cool.
All right, so Jason, two final
People
things.
People get to see you in a Batman costume.
That's right. Eagles, Jabs. I still can't get my phone. I got to take this thing off in a commercial break. Eagles, Jags.
Yeah.
Jason, I mean, it should be a W, right?
Should be. I mean, listen, it's the NFL. Anybody can win any given week. And the Jags, although they have some injuries, have been, I mean, they're talented. The quarterback has been hot and cold, but he's been more hot than cold as of late. He's playing a lot better. But I think, yeah, the Eagles should win this game. Just like they should have won the last three games, and they've taken care of business.
Well, the last one, I don't know about should. They did. I mean, they were an underdog.
Yeah.
Now, listen, maybe since he's not that good, but that was a pretty impressive win. That was a solid victory.
That's fair. They're not like, we didn't go into that game thinking this is one of the worst teams in the NFL, and they're going to walk over.
Yeah.
Them. Yeah.
All right, so the last thing, the most important thing.
Yeah.
What are you going to be tonight for Halloween?
I don't have an outfit right now.
Come on, man.
I'm going trick-or-treating with the kids. I cannot wait.
The best.
What I want to do, but Kylie will kill me, is we got like this like dinosaur outfit for Ellie, our middle child, and the moment I took it out of the box, I just saw the fear in her eyes of this like dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
She's afraid of her own costume?
So she's nixed the dinosaur. So
best laid plans.
So of course, I put the dinosaur head on after that, and just like shaking with fear.
Oh, no.
What I want to do is wear the dinosaur head and come around one of the trees on Ellie.
Of course.
Fear of Halloween.
Yeah, like, terrified her child.
She's supposed to be terrified. Right, this
exactly.
is what this is.
Dad of the year.
That's one of the great joys.
Yeah,
she's good. Only going to be able to be this terrified of a dinosaur mask maybe this year.
Exactly.
I need to take advantage
of it. It changes quick. You're right.
Fear you're striking.
It's like that. Like, my daughter was scared of the Fanatic the first time she met him because he was so big.
Yes.
Like, 6 months later, gave him a huge hug, was like,
exactly.
loved it. It's different.
And Jason, when she's 25, idea. You will be paying her therapy bills. I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
And hey, if you videotape it, put it online, I think you have a chance to go viral. I'm just saying. I think you got a shot. All right, Jason, we'll see you next week, bud.
All right,
thanks. And by the way, everyone, get Garage Beer. Jason's Beer with the Garage, always open. Official beer of the Kelsey Brothers and Dads Everywhere. Drink GarageBeer.com. 215-592-9494. Coming up in 1 minute. Back to the phones. A lot of calls. We're coming right to you in 1 minute's time. Hey, let me tell you about Family and Company Jewelers in Marlton, New Jersey. Right there on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Guys, if you're thinking about getting engaged, don't go anywhere else. Get yourself right to Family and Company Jewelers, your trusted jeweler for quality service and price. You know, you can choose from the largest selection of engagement rings in the area, or you can have their master jewelers create a custom one-of-a-kind ring just for your special day. Visit their showroom or shop online at familyjewelers.com. That's familyjewelers.com. Junior, Angelo, Ian, the entire team there, wonderful people, experts at what they do. And they'll just help guide you through the process. So get yourself to Family Jewelers. You can start with the website, familyjewelers.com. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. Let's talk to Ken right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
So I guess Jason had a run because he's got to go practice kicking field goals in Timberlands for Saturday.
He's got a lot on his plate right now.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for anybody who didn't tune into the YouTube to see this. Because as ridiculous as you might try and imagine Joe looks in that Batman costume, it doesn't do it justice.
It's a great point, Ken.
Ken, I finally have muscles. I'm serious.
The only way you're going to get them.
Correct. You know?
If I was a little kid, that would scare me. So I'm just saying.
Joe, you know, listen. You could actually work out to where you
I know.
Got
I need to.
Muscles.
I need to.
That like your body has the capability to do
Barely.
Exercise.
Some.
I'm telling you, man, you just got to be more positive about it. You got to stick to it.
I know, but I've looked like Screech for a long time, John.
Well, then do it differently than what you did in the past. Let's make it a
Maybe.
Show goal or something for
I'm not,
you.
All right, I'm going to write that down.
Ben and I know to some degree how to help you.
Yeah.
We do understand like physiology. And you do too. We can help.
All right.
We'll design like a workout regimen or something to try to help you.
I think
he needs help with the motivation part most of all.
Motivation for sure. But it's not like you don't have time on your hands to do this.
I know.
That's the issue.
Well, yes and no, but I'll say mostly yes. Now that I'm done writing the book, and I pretty much am done writing the book, it's going to open up time.
I just think, you know, I'm just looking across the table. I see peanut butter and crackers and a Coke.
Exactly.
A can of Coke.
It's real Coke.
It's real Coke.
It's peanut butter. Yeah. And he's
it's
just sticking his face in this peanut butter jar. Yeah.
Which is empty,
with
by the way.
With his Batman hat
today's
on.
A good start for you. Batman, you're going to walk Marion.
Yeah, but I'm going to eat two hot dogs. Every time I golf, two hot dogs and a Coke.
Well,
guaranteed.
Come on, man.
I mean, but that's a golf course tradition. Two hot dogs and a Coke.
Why don't you make it one hot dog?
Yeah, make it one hot dog.
Hold on. Make it one hot dog and a Diet Coke.
Yes. I need sustenance to break 100. One hot dog, I fall short. Ken, what do you got, buddy?
Well, I'll just throw this out there to you as well. We're heading to Aruba for a week tomorrow.
Ooh, but, Jamaica. You going to take me?
Aruba.
Aruba is not Jamaica.
No, I'm singing the song. Aruba, Jamaica.
I thought you thought it was
no, you freaking dorks. All right, I'm the Beach Boys right here.
Little Kokomo.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, but anyway, go ahead.
When we get back, if you got one more round of free golf in you this year, love to get you out on Riverton Country Club.
I appreciate that. I will try to do that.
On Nick Sirianni, listen. The guy's 39-19 as head coach. He's never missed the playoffs, and I realize that we love people around here, like, you know, Dan Campbell, who's made the playoffs once, and Brian Daboll, who's made the playoffs once. You got a guy on the afternoon on this show, on this station, who still can't bring himself to admit that Nick Sirianni's a better coach than Brian Daboll, but that's a separate conversation. We had on this show, we had a caller in the summertime who asked the question, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, do you think they'll have a plan to move on from Nick Sirianni so they don't lose Kellen Moore, who would get poached? And, Joe, you said that's an interesting question.
I do think it's interesting, Ken. If Kellen Moore's offensive design is more valuable than Nick Sirianni's anything else, and Kellen Moore is going to get taken, I honestly do think it's an interesting question. I don't think they would do it, but I don't think it's not interesting. Listen, the Niners dealt with this 30 years ago. They really almost clipped Seifert to keep Shanahan. I remember it. It was the night of the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl, and they knew Shanahan was about to be gone to Denver. And they had to make a decision. Get rid of the coach that's now won two Super Bowls, or lose Shanahan. They lost Shanahan. Their thing fell apart. And Shanahan, over the next 4 years, won two Super Bowls. It's a reasonable thing.
Incredible that they made the wrong decision.
But think how hard it is to fire
George Seifert.
But think how hard it is to fire a coach that had won two Super Bowls in 5 years.
Exactly.
I mean,
but the coach who won two Super Bowls in 5 years because of the framework created
Bill
by
Walsh.
Bill Walsh.
Correct.
Specifically, entirely
right.
By Bill Walsh.
And the question, Ken, about Sirianni has always been, is he benefiting from the framework created by Howie Roseman?
Yeah.
Well, I would just point this out. Okay, he was hired the same year as Dan Campbell was hired, okay? And Dan Campbell went out there and he made himself look even stupider than Nick Sirianni with the whole biting kneecaps press conference, right?
I think it's debatable who made themselves look stupid.
I agree with John.
Dan Campbell went 3-13 in his first season. Nick Sirianni went 9-8 and completely revamped the approach of the football team to overcome the shortcomings that team
it's an
has.
Easier division. It was an easier division.
That's not a defending Nick's coaching ability thing.
They like made the playoffs.
He had a better roster from the get-go.
I mean, Ken, he had a roster advantage and a schedule. The schedule's been a joke.
He had a significantly better roster than Dan Campbell did in when they were both hired.
All right, Ken, give me an answer. Strange tradition.
You know, up in the upper Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, they get all excited about their meat raffles. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but the meat raffle is a big
thing. You got it, my man. I thought he was going to say the cheese head thing, because that is a strange tradition. It's put a block of cheese on our head. I mean, that's weird.
That is weird.
Very
right.
weird.
Sports does have some weird stuff.
It does, man. Yep. Yeah, it really does.
Fertile ground
the
for
octopus
this.
Octopus on the ice.
Dude.
The great one.
That could have won.
That could have won. Way to go,
Ben. I was just trying to imitate Joe and just throw out the
you know what's unbelievable? You know what's incredible, Ben? I still think of Detroit as a powerhouse hockey team because of the 90s.
I agree.
They haven't done anything in like 25 years.
I know.
Sweet, they haven't? I still think of them as a powerhouse, too. James, Yzerman and Fedorov and Lindstrom and all
I
those
agree.
Dudes.
James, if you look up
hockey
their
town.
Record in the last 20 years, it's a fiasco.
Wow. Honestly, that's on me. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Well, they're owned by that same guy that owns the Tigers.
Mike Ilitch.
And I think he just stopped like paying and stuff. Anyway, what do I know about the Red Wings other than they beat the Flyers in 90s, a series that felt felt like the Flyers are going to win, and then in like the second period of game one, it's like,
oh, we're losing, and we're probably getting swept.
Oh, boy.
We're probably getting swept.
Oh, boy. I still think when Lindros was introduced at the start of that, you know, they brought out all the players. He was always last because number 88. I think it might be the loudest the Wells Fargo Center ever was. That was a great team, but man, in the Stanley Cup, they were a disaster.
Can anyone explain to me why you would wear the exact same costume every year for Halloween? Doesn't that take away from some of the, I don't know, like celebration, some of the festivity, some of the mystery?
Saves me money, that's number one. Number two, it goes back, and I've told you this before, that night in 99 when that gal asked me to take her back to the Batcave.
So you were just
so
like,
so now it makes you think
whatever the opposite of party, whatever the opposite ben. Of I was scarred ben, for life I, from this thing, it's the opposite.
It yeah. gave me yeah.
He thinks ben. He looks cool dressed up like Batman because one girl
yeah. one time asked 25 him, years ago.
Yeah. 25 years ago.
But when you have low self-esteem, you take anything Batcave. You can. No, you do. I mean,
so
and,
Joe
and Ben, got, I, but, and Ben, I lost her.
You lost her?
Well, she was in a costume also. Right. There was a
now
lot of people there.
Are you hoping for that girl to come back? Is that what
No.
Pining.
This
is a pining
now
thing.
Now Rich is trying to cause a controversy.
How do you lose her?
No. I don't know. I mean, it was a party. There's a lot going on. You're drinking. You're with your buddies. You're like, I don't know. But no, that is
Joe's
that. And then later in the Cheers. So the Fairfield Mirror,
yearning.
Which is the newspaper on a weekly basis, there was a Cheers section. And someone cheered the three, because it was me and two of my buddies, the three hottie guys in the Batman outfits at the party. So we made an impression.
It might have been the other two.
It might have been. Oh, they certainly hooked up with more. They hooked up with a lot more girls than I did, I'll tell you that.
Did you have the mask on?
Yeah. Maybe that's why she was interested. Uh-huh. She couldn't see my face. It would make a lot of sense.
That's why you qualified as a hottie guy.
hey, listen, maybe she wasn't that good looking, but she looked good in her outfit.
Did she lose her glasses that
she
day?
Did, I don't know. But she did seem attractive.
But you're still wearing the same costume.
Makes me happy.
Almost.
Makes me happy.